Amen. Thankful for the solid rock tonight. I hope you are as well. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and join me in the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. If you would, this evening, this is where we began our series on Experiencing Revival. And we're not through expecting and seeking and searching for revival. But we will conclude this series this evening. As you turn to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, it is the fifth book from the New Testament. So I guess go to Matthew and count and go back five books to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3 this evening. As I mentioned, we began this series in Habakkuk. I thought it appropriate to end in Habakkuk as well. The Lord did, actually. I wanted to do a little something different, but the Lord thought we should end here. And so we'll do what He wants. It's always best to do that. Habakkuk chapter number 3. This is considered in Scripture one of the great confessions of faith found anywhere in Scripture. Habakkuk was written against a backdrop of apostasy, of judgment, an unbelievable hardship, written during a time when Jehoiakim, king of Judah, led the people into idolatry and away from the Lord. And as a result, God is preparing to judge the nation. And Habakkuk has faced the frightening fact that his nation will be invaded by a merciless enemy. Let's begin reading in verse number 17. We'll read the last three verses of Habakkuk chapter number 3. He begins, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." That might not mean much to us, but in that day, that was all of their income, that was all of their well-being, that was all their sustenance, that was their support. Saying those things are coming to an end. Look at verse number 18. What's that first word? Yet. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places." And he ends this chapter the way he began, "To the chief singer on my stringed instruments." This is thought to be a poem, a song that is spoken. He begins, and this is how he ends this passage. And so tonight, as we conclude this series, but yet we're not concluding the expectation or seeking after revival, I'd like to conclude with this title, "Living in the Yet." Living in the Yet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness to us and the challenge from your word. May it be plain and clear this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It's really a tragic time. We could go back and read through and write about Habakkuk chapter number 1 on through Habakkuk chapter number 2, what God said was going to come upon the people. It's because the people were an idolatrous people. They were a sinful people. These were God's people. They had been called out to serve God. God had given them the commandments. If you serve me, I'll bless you. If you serve me, if you follow me, if you seek me with your whole heart, if you love me with all of your heart and your mind and your spirit, then He would bless them. He would be a father to them and all of these things. And so they knew that, but they also knew what would happen if they worshiped false gods. They also knew what would happen if they fell into idolatry. They also knew, God had already told them what would happen if they did exactly what they did here. And so God, being a faithful Father, is keeping His word. It reminds me, as a parent, one of the best things that you can do, parents, and you can go ahead and say amen here in just a moment, one of the best things you can do is keep your word to your children. Both in good times and also when you tell them, if you don't do this, this will happen. It's good to keep your word then too. It's okay to keep your word then too. In fact, it's a good thing to keep your word. And God here is keeping His word. Habakkuk here is in an interesting emotional state. We can imagine what kind of an emotional state he was in, because coming to this point, he knows that many of his people are going to go into exile. Many, perhaps, are going to die. The land is going to be ruined. Jerusalem and the temple are going to be destroyed. And yet his response is amazing. So how do we position ourselves? How do we get ourselves into the same mindset, the same state of mind that Habakkuk was in when we face the unimaginable? When we face the a loss of such things as health or employment or a loved one or, I don't know, a global pandemic? How can we get ourselves to the place where we're living in the yet? Habakkuk's prayer, his confession here calls us to a confident faith, a trust in God who is the source of our salvation and our strength and our stability, both in the past and the present, and we can trust into the future as well. The Bible reminds us that those who trust in the Lord will never be disappointed. And the prophet had predicted that tough times were coming. Things would get very, very bad, way worse before they got better. And in verse 17, we read that near the end of his prophecy, he finds him pondering the potential loss of earthly things. And the situation, the circumstances weren't easy. God had showed him days when none of the crops or livestock on which the people depended would be fruitful. It would take more than just optimism to endure the coming hardship. And as a people, Israel would be in extreme poverty and bondage. And verse 16, look there if you would please. He said, when I heard these things that God had reminded, told him were coming, he said, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto his people, he will invade them with his troops. He experienced great fear. Yet despite that, Habakkuk said in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He proclaimed his hope in the Lord, who provided the strength and the ability to walk through difficult places. Sometimes we go through places like that of darkness, of storm, of deep pain, of hardship. Aren't you thankful for reminders like this in Scripture that no matter what we go through, we can rejoice in our relationship with the Lord? Even when it feels like we have nothing else, the Bible promises in Hebrews 13:5 that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You remember when we began this series, if you don't remember, we began by talking about the burden that Habakkuk had. He was a burdened man. He was a burdened man. Babylon was coming. Later, God would deal with Babylon, and a remnant of Jews would return to Jerusalem. But this judgment was about to fall, and God was executing this judgment through the Babylonians. And so Habakkuk did what any believer should do. He cried out to God, and the Lord told him that nothing could keep this judgment from taking place. In spite of that, in light of what God had revealed to him, he continued to declare his confidence in the Lord. It's easy to tend toward pessimism. I think I tend to be pessimistic, unfortunately, more often than not. To jump to a negative conclusion about how situations in life will play out. One writer said it this way: if I'm thwarted in my efforts in one project, it's easy to convince myself that none of my other projects will be a success. And they wrote, even though utterly unrelated, they won't be a success. We think things like, I'll probably never be able to touch my toes comfortably. And woe is me, I'm an awful father, husband, spouse who can't do anything right. Then they ended this way: defeat in one area unnecessarily affects feelings in many. It's easy to imagine how the prophet Habakkuk might have reacted to what God showed him. He had a great reason to be discouraged after hearing about what was coming. Long, difficult years lay ahead. Things really did look dismal. No fruit, no meat, no creature comforts. His words could lure one into the mire of a pessimistic attitude, a mire of hopelessness, until Until we come to verse number 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Statements like that, church family, should bring great joy to the child of God. God has designed our Christian lives so that when things don't go right, we can still be victorious. When circumstances surrounding us don't turn out like we hoped they would, when everything we wanted to be right is not right, when wrong continues, we can still be victorious. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, Habakkuk said. Despite the hardships, Habakkuk found cause for rejoicing simply because who God is. And if Habakkuk, who truly faced some extreme hardships, if he could summon praise for God in those moments, I think we can too. When we're bogged down in depths and despair, and we can look to God who lifts up, who he asks in verse number two, to revive thy work, the God who revives. When things still don't work out the way we planned, we can hold on to the fact that God says we can still have victory. God is still faithful. This is an amazing thing about how God designed our faith. Our faith isn't in me. Your faith isn't in you. Our faith isn't in the circumstances. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. And we can still have victory, though things don't turn out the way we hoped they would. We hear stories on a regular basis on the news. We hear about Christians who are suffering, and we wonder, how can they ever continue? Well, those Christians, they continue by faith. There are times when we don't understand all that's going on around us. The darkness doesn't seem to lift. The pain doesn't seem to persist. The sickness lingers, but and on we could go. But as long as we know that our Heavenly Father is still with us, as long as we know that He is in control, as long as He knows that His eyes are upon us, the psalmist wrote about that over and over again, as long as we know that we are still in His care, we can make it through even the darkest of nights. This is what Habakkuk is reminding us about, living in the yet. Living in the yet is living and abiding in the presence of the Lord. Even when present circumstances and surroundings are not what we wish them to be, it's keeping our eyes firmly fixed. God wants us to fix our eyes on Him. I read a story about a man who hired a guide to lead him on a hike into the Swiss Alps. And after many hours, they came to a high and remote mountain pass. And the pass had been completely washed out. They couldn't continue on their trip on the path that they were on. And to the left was a sheer rock wall straight up. And to his right was a drop of nearly 1,000 feet. So looking down, he felt his head grow faint and his knees began to buckle. At that moment, his guide shouted, "Don't look down or you're a dead man." He said, "Keep your eyes on me." He said, "Where I put my feet, put your feet." The man did as he was instructed and made it from danger to safety. The world is constantly trying to get us to get our eyes off of the things of God. One author wrote that the object on which we fix our eyes is that on which our heart is set. The thing we like best, the thing we desire most, the person we love most. The world is constantly trying to get our eyes off of the things of God. If we're to see revival, if we're to see God do a work here, we need to get our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. He is enough. Habakkuk said, "He is my joy." Habakkuk said, "I rejoice in Him." He was simply repeating a truth found throughout Scripture. When Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea and God brought them to the other side, he said in Exodus chapter 15, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation." That phrase is repeated almost word for word in Psalms chapter 118, verse number 14. Isaiah 12, verse number 2, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." As Habakkuk concludes this book, he saw that his nation, his friends, his land was gone. Everything was gone except for the Lord. And then he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." If you mark things, I'd circle that word, yet. It's a turning point. It's a transition moment. What could he rejoice in? Well, I believe there's a few things, three things that Habakkuk could rejoice in. I believe, he rejoiced in God's ability. To rejoice, it's an interesting word. He goes through all these negative things, his fear in verse number 16, the loss in verse number 17, and then he says, yet I will rejoice. That word rejoice, it literally means to jump for joy. To jump for joy. Why could he rejoice like that? Why could Habakkuk jump for joy in circumstances like that? Well, because God is able. We can't measure God's ability. We can't measure the depth or the width or the breadth of God. And here Habakkuk reminds us that he is able for our finances, for forgiveness, for comfort, for strength, for our song, for joy, for revival. He is able. And we can rejoice because he is able. When Habakkuk started out writing this prophecy, he said to the Lord that iniquity looks as if it's prevailing and wrong is conquering over right. It looks as if the wicked are actually winning. There was a crisis in the land. He was under a tremendous burden, but he moved from crisis to the Lord. He was dealing with terrible difficulty. He knew the land was about to be destroyed. Everything was about to be gone. Yet God was enough. The Lord is able. There's a wonderful promise that Paul writes to the Ephesian church the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And there's several unique statements that are unique to the Apostle Paul's writing. One of them is that phrase, exceeding abundant. Exceeding abundantly. It means that the best and the greatest that we can think, God can do more than that. It means superabundant. He's able to do even more than we can think. He's exceeding abundant. We can rejoice in his ability. The second reason I believe that he could rejoice is he could rejoice in his availability. Availability. He rejoiced because God is available. He mentions in the second part of verse 18, salvation, which means liberty or deliverance or prosperity and safety. It'd be an awful thing if the Lord were able and not available. Have you ever ordered something from a company, whether it's online or you go into the store and ordered something, and you ordered it, you paid for it, and then it never came? Anybody ever done anything like that? Or it took a lot longer. We recently did that. Can I tell them about that? My wife is still waiting on her Christmas present from me from last year. We went to a furniture store and I bought her a piece of furniture. We'll send it to you. It'll be 6 or 8 weeks. They said 6 to 8 weeks originally, right? It was one of those special deals. And so a lot of people were buying it supposedly 6 to 8 weeks. I said, okay, if she's okay with that, I'm okay with that. We bought it. We went home. It's still, to this day, we ordered it in November of last year. It's almost been a whole year. They said they were able to provide it, but they've not been available to provide it. And so we wait, right? And wait. And wait. When Habakkuk prayed, he didn't have to wait. It wasn't, I'll get back to you in 6 to 8 weeks. When Habakkuk prayed, the Lord answered. He wasn't simply speaking into the air. God was available. Listen, let me give you some encouragement tonight. The Lord Jesus wasn't teasing us. He wasn't kidding when he said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord wasn't kidding when he wrote through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33:3 to call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things when thou knowest not. I'm thankful for that. He wasn't just joking when he said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wasn't kidding when he said in James chapter 4, verse number 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. He is available. Our God is available. We can rejoice in his availability all day, every day. In fact, the Bible says Jesus went to the cross, he paid our sin debt, and today is still working on our behalf. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There are many wonderful stories about the availability and Jesus' willingness to meet the needs, and we've just looked at a couple of those on Sunday mornings in Mark chapter number 5. We read the record of a woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she had suffered with this horrible blood disorder. And Jesus had just been in the land of Gadara, and the Gadarene maniac had been saved. And the people were frightened because of this formerly wild man. And Christ came to that man, freed him, saved him. The Bible says after he was saved, he was clothed, he was in his right mind, and the demons were cast out. And some of the people became angry with the Lord Jesus and wanted him to leave. And so as he crossed back over to the other side, he was met by a man named Jairus who had a daughter who had been sick for 12 years and was dying. She was 12 years old. And he fell at his feet and besought him to come to his house. And while Jesus was going to his house, a woman who'd been suffering came in the crowd of people and touched his garment and reminds us of Jesus' compassion as he's making his way through the crowd. He was weary. He was no doubt tired from the day. And as he made his way, right in the middle of it all, a miracle took place. The Lord Jesus didn't ignore her. The Lord Jesus had time for her. He stopped for her because he is available. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people ignore God. In the strength and the pride of life, I can handle this on my own. Many ignore him. But what's maybe even more amazing is that as we ignore him in our pride and in our determination to do things my own way, it's almost equally as amazing that after I've ignored him and when I've come to the end of myself, when I need him, he's still available. Habakkuk rejoiced in the Lord because of his ability. He rejoiced in the Lord because of his availability. And we can too. And I wish I could have found another A word, but I couldn't. But tonight we can also rejoice in the Lord because of his stability. Look in verse number 19. In verse number 18 as well. You see where it says Lord in both of those verses? And it's in your King James Bible, it should be all caps. You know who that is? That's Jehovah. That's the self-existent one. That's the eternal one. That's the covenant-keeping God. That's the great I am right there, ladies and gentlemen. You know what else is another characteristic of that word Lord, that word Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one? It's changeless. Ever the same. Ever the same. He's the one that we can depend on in desperate, troublesome times. He's the one that we can believe during unbelievable times. He's the one we can lean on at all times. His strength never changes. He never is weak one day and strong the next and not the next. Strength simply means ability. And it's reminding us that our strength doesn't lie in my ability, but in his ability. He is our source of strength. He is always the same. Turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. So I'm going to read Psalms 27, verse number 1. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When we're unable to stand, he enables us. When we can't go on, he helps us. We're in a deep valley, he guides us. He strengthens us when our strength fails. It reminds me of what we've been studying in Sunday school about understanding that when I am weak, then understanding his strength at work in my weakness. It's me admitting that I can't, me admitting that he can, and me admitting that he is able to do what he says he will do. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse number 31 ought to be familiar to us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In his trials, Habakkuk learned a valuable lesson that all God's children need to learn. He learned that God is both our salvation, he's our strength, he's our source of rejoicing. And he learned this, ladies and gentlemen, he learned that he had nothing to fear, but he always had reason to rejoice and to continue on. One man said this: we need to understand that many of the dark clouds are never going to lift until the trumpet sounds and the Son of God comes and we see him face to face. Until that happens, he said, we can rejoice in our Savior. Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He is able. He has enough ability. He is available. And he is stable. He is always the same. Although the prophet knew that tragedy was coming, it still struck fear into his heart. And when we don't understand the trials we're going through, we can recount on how God has worked in the past. That's what Habakkuk did. And it gave him courage to move on by choosing to praise the Lord. It didn't dispel the fear, but it gave him courage to move on. Our God has proven himself faithful. And we can say in those times of worry and fear and heartache, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Habakkuk teaches us to face our doubts and questions honestly, to take them humbly to the Lord, to wait for his word to teach us, and then to worship him no matter what. Revival comes, as we think of concluding this series, revival comes as we move into the yet. Despite all that happens around us, what all this world says we should or shouldn't do, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will trust in his ability, I'll trust in his availability, and I'll trust that he is stable, he is always the same. Let's stand, if you would, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's have a word of prayer. I want you to know, church family, just how much I love you and I care about you. And I know perhaps there are many that are going through times where you don't know what's going on. You don't know what God has in store for you. That's when we need to move into that yet state of mind. That time where we believe that though all these things are happening around us, swirling seemingly out of control, yet I will rejoice in him. Yet I will rejoice in him. I think it'd be good for us tonight to, as we conclude this portion, this series, as we take time to pray for these requests, that one of the things we pray for is that God would allow us to trust him just a little bit more today than we did yesterday. And tomorrow, as we get up and get on our knees before the Lord in prayer, we ask him tomorrow, Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to trust you. Times aren't easy, and they're not going to get any easier until Jesus comes. But we have a great God that we can trust. We have a great God that we can hold tightly to. I'm going to pray, and then we'll take some time this evening, as we've normally done, to pray for these requests. Pray as the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight as well. And then I encourage you to make your way out, as those that are still praying can have some the quiet time to pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge. I know that I needed it. I know that it was timely for me. And perhaps there's someone here tonight that needed to hear this challenge and encouragement from your word. I'm thankful that we have a God that we can pray to, and you hear our prayers. And it's amazing for me to think of all the millions upon millions of people that no doubt are praying to you at one time, that you can still hear my prayers. I'm thankful for that. And you're still able to meet the needs of someone just like me, and that you're consistent in who you are and you're in how you act and interact with each and every one of us. Thank you for the challenge tonight. Be with the many requests on our heart, on our prayer list tonight. And we'll be faithful and fervent in praying for one another. We thank and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.